Everybody, I would like B'siyata D'shmaya to finish up the question that we started with in the middle of last week. And I know it took us a couple of days to get here, but now you understand how many factors go into a shaila whenever a question needs to be considered. So the question that we dealt with last week was, there was a woman who passed away in a home. Her family were all Kohanim, her grandchildren are Kohanim, and the question was, do they have to actually leave the entire complex of the home? It was a very big home. Do they have to leave the complex of the home after she passes away? Or is there a way that somehow we can figure out that they can stay in the home, in this complex, even before the Chevra Kadisha comes and takes away the body? So let us now, with all the background that we know, let us try and understand the parameters of this halacha. We turn to Parshas Emor, where we know that it says the Kohanim are not allowed to come in contact with a dead body. In Parshas Chukas, the Torah extends the halacha and says, not only is a kohen not allowed to come in direct contact with a dead body, but we assume that we extend it to something that's referred to as Tumas Ohel, which means, says the pasuk, Kalaba Ela Ohel V'Chalasher Ba Ohel Yitma. Anytime you have a dead body, not only in your close proximity and you actually touch it, but also if you are Ma'ahil, which means if you lean over the dead body, you don't directly touch it, but you lean over it. Or both myself and the dead body are under one roof. We are under one ohel. Then we assume that I would become defiled. I would become tamei as well. Now, the question that one has to think about is, how do we determine, how do we define exactly what is considered an ohel for these purposes? Is it something that's in the same immediate room as the dead body? Is it a person or a food item that's in the same room? Or is it the same floor of the house? Is it the entire enclosure, the entire house, the entire building? This is a very important question that one needs to think about. Take, for example, you have an apartment building with 100 apartments in it and somebody passes away. Does that mean now automatically the entire building becomes tamei because we are all subsumed under this one roof? That is a major question. If one studies the very complicated Mishnayos and Maseches Olos, the parameters of this halacha are very clearly defined. So the Mishnah tells us in Olos, we have three qualifications, we have three provisions, three conditions that are necessary for something to be considered an ohel, for something to be able to transfer tuma from place A to place B because they are under the same roof. Number one, says the Mishnah, you need to have a roof on top of the dead body that is made of at least a tefach al tefach, which is somewhere around 8.5 inches by 8.5 inches, something like that. So if you have either a piece of wood or something that is on top of the dead body that is of that size, of that measurement, we assume that is qualification number one that you need in order to bring tuma from place A to place B. Number two, says the Mishnayos, you need to also have a cavity, an opening, which is a tefach, which means if you have the dead body and right on top of it you have a sheet, that is not considered to be an ohel. But if you have something that is a tefach of opening in between the dead body and something that is hovering over above it, then that already is considered to be an ohel. Those are the two qualifications that the Mishnah says. And number three, the Mishnah tells us that this can be possible even if it is not an enclosed area, even if it is not surrounded by walls. So say, for example, you have a piece of wood that is extended over two poles somewhere and there are no walls around it. There's a dead body underneath. We assume anyone else who is standing under that piece of wood, even far away, anyone else who is standing under that piece of wood becomes tamei, because we consider all of this to be like one enclosure, like one home, and therefore we assume no one is allowed to be, a kohen certainly we're not allowed to be there. So that is where we have all of those parameters. Then we assume that that is considered an ohel, and it is able to bring tuma, it is able to transfer it from place A to place B. That also means that when you have those parameters, when you have those qualifications, when you have those conditions, we assume that the tumah will not be able to advance. The tumah remains confined. The tumah remains limited and restricted to this area only. So that means, say for example, you have a dead body in a room, obviously the tumah spreads to the entire room, but it will not extend above the roof. It will not go beyond the walls of this room or beyond the roof. We assume that it will be confined and restricted only to the area that is enclosed with the dead body. This is expressed very clearly in the Mishnah Maseches Olos, where it says the following: Haisa aliyah al gabe shnei habatim. Let's say you have a second floor on top of a ground floor, and you have, unfortunately, a dead body in the ground floor, says the Mishnah. He tameya, the downstairs is going to be tamei because the dead body is confined in that area. However, whatever is on top, kol ha'aliyos tahoros. Everything that is on top of that is not considered to be tameh. Why? Because if you have a confined area of an ohel, the tumah is not able to protrude, the tumah is not able to penetrate, it cannot extend, and we assume that it remains only where it is. And the same goes in the opposite direction. If you have a dead body, let's say a strange case, but you have a dead body on top of a roof or something of that nature, it will not penetrate and go through the house. And even though somebody's standing directly underneath it, inside of the house, it will not consider to be tameh at all. That is the halacha of Tumas Ohel. That is clear. There's no chiddush here. This is what the Mishnah says clearly. This is what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. What if a person does not have a Ohel? What if a person does not have all of these conditions? So, for example, somebody passes away, you have a dead body outside, and there is no roof above the dead body. You don't have all of the conditions that we mentioned. So in such a case, the Mishnah says that we have a halacha that it is bokaz va'ola ad the rakia, ubokaz v'yoredes ad atahom. Then we say that the tumah will ascend, the tumah will rise all the way up to the sky. So you could be in an airplane, and there's a dead body thousands of miles beneath you. We assume that the tumah goes all the way up, and it goes all the way down. The question is, what does it mean, ad l'rakia? That's a big question. When we say the tumah goes all the way up and all the way down, does that mean all the way down means it goes all the way through the earth? So if somebody is buried, I don't know, what's the opposite of New York City on the other side of the globe? I don't know exactly. But let's say you have somebody who's buried there. Does that mean it goes all the way through, so I have to think about where I'm standing? So that's a major question. How far does it go, and how far up does it go is a good question as well. What does it mean that it extends ad l'rakia? Does that mean to the clouds? Does that mean to higher than the clouds? That's a good question, but this is something that is a very important issue. And the reason why this is relevant, the halachas of Tumas Ohel, is not only because of the question that I had last week, but it's also because Kohanim very often visit hospitals, or Kohanim are sometimes patients in hospitals. And this is a very complicated question. Is a Kohen actually allowed to go into a hospital? Because quite often, or more often than not, unfortunately we know, there are dead bodies in a hospital, either because there is a morgue in a hospital and bodies are waiting around there until they're buried, or because somebody has just passed away, unbeknownst to many of the patients who are there, but somebody on a certain floor of a big hospital very often has patients who are not going to be alive inside of that structure at the same time. And this is a very important question. It's a different question in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, most of the times when you have a dead body in the hospital, it's probably going to be statistically a non-Jewish body. So it changes the question a little bit, because there is a discussion whether or not we assume these rules of Tumas Ohel apply to a non-Jewish cadaver, or do they only apply to a Jewish body. But generally, the Rama says we should be machmir, and a Kohen should make sure not to be under the same enclosure as a Jewish dead body, and he should also make sure not to be under the same roof as a non-Jewish body as well. So it's basically the same question here, and in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's Meisei Akum or Meisei Yisrael, this is something that we generally have to be very careful about, and one has to be thoughtful about as well. When one encounters a situation of Tumas Ohel, the Chasam Sofer, the way he explains it is, how does the Tumah go everywhere? So the Chasam Sofer says it is able to transfuse to the entire structure that you're in. So the Chasam Sofer writes, it's almost like a vapor. The same way a vapor doesn't stop anywhere, it just keeps going anywhere where you will let it escape. So too writes the Chasam Sofer, that's what happens when you have Tumah. If it's in a confined, restricted area, we assume that it is going to be like vapor, and it will spread out to the entire structure that it is able to get to. However, the Mishnah says in Maseches Olos, as well as the Gemara quotes it in Maseches Baba Basra, most people don't learn Maseches Olos, the Mishnayos are very hard, but many people do learn Baba Basra, and that's where this became famous, where the Gemara says very clearly that there is one way that one is able to stop a tumah from traveling inside of a house. So we're inside of a structure, we have all of the qualifications necessary to be considered an ohel, where the tumah should transfer from one place to another under the same roof. However, the Mishnah says there is one way to make sure that the tumah will not transfer any further, and that is if you put up a mechitza, if you cordon off the area and you close it, that it is entirely sealed, then says the Mishnah and the Gemara as well, we assume the tumah will not be able to penetrate those mechitzos. So now we have the question once again. You have a dead body inside of a room. As long as you seal off the room and you make sure that there are no cracks, no openings where the tumah can get through to the next room, we assume that that would confine, that would restrict the tumah, and we would assume that the tumah would not extend any further. So say, for example, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach talks about the case where you have a person who is in a hospital, and this person who is being hospitalized happens to be a Kohen. Well, I have no choice. It's pikuach nefesh. I have to go to the hospital. What am I supposed to do? However, says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, we all know that very often in a hospital there's going to be a dead body at some point. It might be on your floor, it might be somewhere else in a different room. Says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, one should be careful if they are a Kohen to keep the door shut, the door to your room closed. Why? It makes a lot of sense. Because as long as you cordon off your own room, as long as you make sure to remain behind a mechitza that is completely closed off, says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, you save yourself from the tumah being able to transfer into your room, into your domain. And therefore he says one should be thoughtful about this, one should be careful to think how you are going to act if you happen to be a Kohen who needs to be in a hospital which might have a dead body inside of it. And certainly as well, there Achronim have a major discussion about whether I want to do Bikur Cholim and I happen to be a Kohen and I want to visit a hospital, how am I supposed to do that? Well, let's be honest. Usually on the first floor of a hospital, you're not going to encounter a dead body. That is usually not what happens. It's quite unusual. Someone's going to have a heart attack right in the middle of the floor, right in the middle of the lobby. So, for all intents and purposes, I should have said that one is certainly allowed to enter the ground floor of a hospital, because what can be wrong? But the question is, then what? How do you get upstairs? Well, you never know. Maybe by going upstairs, I'm going up in the elevator, so you'll say, well, I'm going up to the maternity ward, and there's probably not going to be any dead bodies up there. We're not talking about the ward which treats gravely ill, fatally ill patients. So, this is a very important question one has to very carefully think about. How do you properly visit a chola in the hospital if you happen to be a Kohen? Is it perhaps something that a Kohen has to think twice about before doing so, because maybe you will encounter a situation of tumas ohel? And certainly, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes as well, even if you think you're going to a floor where it's all safe, it might not be as safe as you think, because says Reb Shlomo Zalman, you might pass the third or fourth floor along the way, and the elevator door is going to open. Once it opens, then the tumah is going to enter into the elevator, and that's the end of that. So this is a very complicated issue that one needs to think very carefully about before visiting a hospital. If they happen to be a Kohen, you have to consider very carefully, first of all, why it is that you're going. If you're really helping the patient, then it's a different story. But if you're going just as a volunteer, that's something you should be very careful about. So this should have solved the problem. Again, in the case that I was describing, we had a person passed away in a house, a very big house, and the house had two ways to get into it. There are two families that live in this house. They are related to each other. So one side of the house is a big family that lives on one half, and the other side of the family is the grandparents that live on the other half. In the middle, there's one room that connects the two houses. And the body was found in the middle room that connects the two houses. So the question was, are those members of the family who live in the bigger side of the house able to stay in their half even though there's a dead body in the middle room? And the answer to that is yes. Why? Because we cordoned off with mechitzos. We taped up all of the doors. We made sure there is no place where the tumah can come through to the other side of the house. And we made sure that the tumah stays on that side. But there is one final issue that one needs to think about. Even if you seal off an area, and even if you make sure that there's a mechitza which the tumah cannot penetrate and the tumah cannot get through, there is still one final issue, and that is the following. The Mishnayos tell us about an Isur Durabanan that was instituted, a Tumah Durabanan, and that is referred to as Sof Tumah Latzes. Even if you have a body that is confined to a certain and specific designated area, we still assume that if you are going to ultimately take the body out a certain way, you have to get the body out somehow, you have to bury it. So if you're going to ultimately take it out of one of the doorways, we assume it already becomes Tumah now. It's already as if the dead body is in that doorway. So what did I gain by closing off this room, by making a machitza, and now saying that the people on the other side are allowed to stay where they are? How about the fact that we have to take the body out at some point? And the Mishnah says we have this rule of Sof Tumah Latzes, which means if you're ultimately going to take a dead body out of a enclosure, it already becomes Tumah now, the doorway. So how do we get around that? And the answer to that is, the Mishnah says clearly as well in Maseches Beitza, it is quoted, and the Mishnah is really, the source of it is in Maseches Olos. The Mishnah says clearly that as long as you designate, whether it's designating by writing a piece of paper, writing a sign, or designating even b'machshava, says the Mishnah, if you label, if you single out one doorway where you plan to take the body out from, that will save all the other ones. So that's what we did. Before the person passed away, we, number one, made mechitzos, which closed off the other side of the house and allowed the Kohanim to stay in the other partition of the house. The second thing we needed to do was write signs that clearly designated that we're taking the body out from the other side of the house. This way, the mechitza that we made, the doorway that we shut off, was not going to be problematic, even though they would take the body out of the house at some point, but we knew that they were going to take the body out from the other side, and therefore that would not pose a problem of Tumas Ohel at all. So that's the basic one-week answer to the very simple question that I was asked, whether or not Kohanim are allowed to stay in the same structure, in the same house, in the same edifice as a dead body might be found in. It's an unfortunate question, but it's something that comes up every so often, and it's something that we have to be aware of. It's something we have to think about, but we should know, we should understand that there are halachic ways around it, and these are very legitimate. These are not b'di'eved. This is something that the Shulchan Aruch writes is a lechatchila. You're allowed to do this. There's no problem at all, as long as you know how to do it properly. I know a number of years ago we were asked the same question, that there was a Jewish organization that made a dinner in the New York, in the Museum of Natural History. And there they had an exhibit of bodies and of mummies and all kinds of different things that Kohanim are not allowed to be in contact with. And the question was, how do you deal with that? They came to the dinner that night and they knew that they were going to have some Kohanim who were going to be present. And the question was, what do we do about it now? Do we have to tell the Kohanim that they must leave or perhaps not? And the answer that was given at the time, my father was consulted on a number of occasions on such strange instances, and he was advising them the same thing. We should put up a machitza around all of these displays and figure out a way that it can be confined to a very designated area in this edifice, in which that will make sure that it no longer is going to be something that will penetrate into the rest of the confines of the building. Reb Hanan ben Akasha Omer.